I thought, boy, that's good. They treat Pharaohs good. He said, no, let my people go. I got to watch these people. They get me every time, you know. They get me every time. I hope you've had a good 4th of July. You got to see your family. I know we have several that are still out visiting with their family, and we're thrilled about that. Hope they have a safe trip. Let's be sure and pray for people as they're traveling, because some places all you see is the back bumper of a lot of cars trying to get home. So we want everybody to be safe. It's very difficult to drive in this old world and not to be safe. We're going to study a lesson today that I think is very important. We don't talk much about the grace of God. I don't know if we understand really about the grace of God like we should. And that's not saying that I know all about it myself. I want you to know that in the beginning. But the grace of God is such an important thing. And so what we want to do is understand that this grace is something that God is giving to us to reach out to us to show us how wonderful things are going to be for us. And He wants us to know that. He doesn't want us to think about it. He wants us to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so here's what He's trying to say to us. Now, first of all, what is the grace of God? The grace of God is God giving us what we need, not exactly what we deserve. Because if we get what we deserve, then we're all lost. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then you read in chapter 6 and verse 23, says almost the same thing. And He's saying it so close together twice that He really wants us to comprehend that. He wants us to know it. But we have the forgiveness of God. We have the grace of God that's given to us. Now, it's not something that we really could say to God, God, you owe me grace. We don't owe God grace. God wants to give it to us. And we have to realize that. I was trying to think of a good illustration of the grace of God and what it could be. And the one I thought of was that of the son who went away from his father. The young son who went to his father and said, listen, I want all my inheritance. And his father was very gracious and gave it to him. The young man took his money, took all that he had, and left for the far country. And he had a time, boy. I guarantee you that old boy, he had parties and he had friends and he had all this and he really lived it up. Not thinking about tomorrow, not thinking about there's a time when that money's going to go out and you're going to have to go to work. And when his money left, his friends left, all those people that were behind him left, he was left without anything. So here he is, a Jewish boy who does not want to have anything to do with pigs, but he's in there feeding them now and maybe even eating with them a little bit. And finally he comes to himself and he said, you know, I know my father. He treats his servants better than this. Why don't I just go home and be a servant to my father? Why don't I just go home and say, Father, listen, I've sinned. I don't deserve to be your son. I've wasted all this money. I've spent all this. Now what I want to do now, Father, is just let me be a servant. In fact, God, let me be the lowest servant you've got. That's the lowest servant, as far as I know, was the one that washed the feet of people when they came in. He said, I'll do that job. I'll do anything. So here he gets up and he leaves to go back to his father. And there he comes to meet his father. I can imagine he needed a haircut. He needed a shave. He needed a bath. He didn't smell good. He didn't look good. And he probably had lost a lot of weight because he hadn't had much to eat. You ever thought about what he had to eat from that far country to his father's house? How he had to make it? He goes up to his father, and his father says, oh, you're back, eh? Well, you're not coming back the way you left. You were a big shot then. Where's the big shot? Well, you knew your way. Why don't you go back over there to that foreign country? Why don't you be the fella that just goes back over there and you're the big king again? Or maybe his father said to him, oh, look, the little puppy that wanted to bark has gone, come back home. And we could go on and on and on with things that this father could have told his son. And probably his son was looking for that, maybe. He was thinking that might be a part of it. But what does the story really read there? This prodigal son comes home and the father won't even give him time to say, I'm sorry. The father won't even give him time to say, Father, I'm the biggest fool that could ever be. The father runs and meets him. The father hugs him. The nasty, dirty little old boy, and he hugs him. Well, he's not a little boy, he's a man. Because that's his son. And his son trying to say, Daddy, I just want to be a servant. And daddy didn't even hear that. His daddy said, go kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. He's royalty. Put a robe on him. And in that he meant, get him cleaned up, get him all dressed up, and I want him looking good. Because we're going to have a party. That that was dead is now alive. That's the grace of God. That's the way God treats us. We're all sinners. We mentioned a while ago, Romans 3 and verse 23. But God loves us. There is not a person God does not love. And we need to understand that. Now, as we're dealing with other people, we need to recognize that every person is loved by God and that we need to love every person like God does. We are God's children, so we need to act like God would. We need to treat those people right when they treat us wrong. We need to help them when they try to hurt us. We need to do what is good and not go to the fleshly part and act like the world. When somebody treats me bad, I'm going to treat them bad. That's wrong, and we can't do that. We can't live that way. We've got to live the right way. And so here, this young son understood what it was to have grace. His father could have said to him, listen, you're dead, bud. Go on. You're not here. But his father ran and hugged him and kissed him and was ready to forgive him before the boy was even ready to confess it. I'm going to tell you something. The God we have is the same way. In fact, many people look at that father as though he were God. He loved his son. Right or wrong, he loved his son. Now, I can't imagine, well, there's nothing my children can do that would cause me not to love them. Nothing. Now, there's things that I might not respect in them. There's things that they may need to change, but I'm going to love them no matter what. And I think our kids need to know that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to appreciate what they do that's wrong. We're going to tell them about that. We're going to try to help them to do what's right. But here, we need to recognize the grace of God. This grace is giving us not what we deserve, but really what we need. Now, look at this. What does Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, what does it teach us about grace? Now turn there if you would, because that's where we're going to stay. Sometimes I think preachers go to this passage and that passage and this passage and that passage, and it kind of confuses everybody. I like to just stick with the one that's there. And we can bring others in, but we don't need 50 other passages to teach what this teaches. Here's Paul writing to Titus, a young preacher. He's trying to explain something to him that he needs to know. He's trying to help him to understand the grace of God and understand what it is, and we need to understand that. So why don't we listen to what Paul says to this young man trying to help him to understand about the grace of God and us understand some things about it. Now, look at this. The grace of God is from God. He's the source of it. He's the one that gives it to us. It's not something that we are going to gain if we do this or if we do that, but that God is the source of it. He is the one that says He's going to give all this grace to us. He's going to help us. And let me tell you something. He's not a liar. He tells the truth. And so He's going to give that grace to us. And we can depend upon that. He is the giver of it. The grace of God is not something that you're going to go out and try to seek. It's not something you want to try to find. It's a gift that is brought to you and given to you. You don't earn it. Now, understand, there's where the problem comes with some people about the grace of God. We think we've got to earn it. Some people say that, but we've got to earn that grace. Let me tell you something. You don't earn grace. If you earn grace, it's not grace. But you will work. You will do what God wants you to do. Now, secondly, the grace of God is that thing that helps us. It is the purpose of grace. Now listen to what they said here. That we bring brings salvation. This grace of God is the thing that brings or gives us salvation. It's there for us. It's the thing that we have there. You're not saved because you're just baptized. Now please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You must be baptized. But just because you're baptized does not mean that you're a saved person. It's a part of the process. We think it's faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and that's it. We're in the church. That's all we got to do. No. That's the process of starting it. That's the Bible calls it the new birth. After birth, there is life. There is that crawling. There is that kind of standing up just a little bit. We've all got pictures of kids. They're standing up. And I'm thinking, the whole world's going crazy. That child standing up. Is that a big thing? It is if it's your child or if it's your grandchild. They're talking. They started talking at 2. I had a daughter like that. Woof. She didn't quit till she left home. Just I was proud of it. Oh, she can say this, she can do this, she can do that, you know. Oh, that's great. But here is this grace that God has given to us. It brings that salvation. It gives that salvation to us. It helps us to understand that. It helps us to have the Holy Spirit. That's a part of what we're given there. And I don't mean something that's kind of weird out here. I mean the Holy Spirit. It was a promise that was made. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38. If you believe the first part, believe the last part. It's not something mysterious. It's something that's simple. So that's the purpose of it. Now, look at this. Who are the recipients of grace? Who is going to receive this grace? Well, it's going to be people that are trying to live right and trying to do right. It's going to be people that are elders and preachers and their family in the church. No, listen to what it says here. Listen what it says. It has appeared to who? What does it say here? All men. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how much money you don't have. I don't care how smart you are or how ignorant you are. It makes no difference at all. I don't even care if you're a sinner or not a sinner. Now think about this one just a little bit. The grace of God is given to everybody. A gift is offered. It's brought to our door and it's offered there to us. But I don't have to take it. I can turn it down. I can turn down the grace of God. I can turn down all that God has given me. I can pull away from it and say, I don't want any of that. What we've got to do is God makes that offer of that grace. It's to us. It is so great and so wonderful. And we have to recognize how wonderful and how great it is. Beyond the saving grace of God, we have everything. Because God has given it to us. Without the grace of God, we have nothing. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a God who loves us and cares for us so very much. It teaches us that it is trying to speak about a training process. In the next part of the verse there, it says teaching us. Now, teaching us, this is what grace does. Grace helps us to understand what this whole thing of Christianity is all about. It's not something that just kind of pours on you all of a sudden. But it is a process of teaching to understand it. It is not just that God says, oh, I'm going to give you my grace and you don't have to worry about anything else. Some people live their lives like that, thinking that that's the way God does it. What does it say here? That grace teaches us. It helps us to understand some things. That's the important thing. It helps us to understand that we've got there's a process of understanding that teaching, that encouragement, that correction, that helping us to live in the right way. That discipline is a part of the grace of God. Now, some people hear grace and they think it's over with. No. Grace is there showing that we are God's children because we are living the right way. We are conducting ourselves as we should. Now, look at the requirements of grace. And I think this is important for people to see. Look at the requirements of grace here. Teaching us. Now, I want you to understand this is a process of teaching us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. Wait a minute, I thought this grace was on us. Yeah, but this grace teaches us something. Because God has offered me salvation. Because God has offered me His arms outspread that I could be forgiven of all my sins. And that He could just hug me and love me even though I'm not clean, but He can love me and care for me. Does that mean that I don't have to do anything different? That I don't have to live any better? Listen, it says teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should be those people that live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, how people get that the grace of God is something that's just given to you and you don't have to worry about a thing, that it's just that we've got the grace of God and, we can just live like we want to. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to study my Bible. I don't have to learn that this is wrong and that's wrong. I don't have to worry about that. The grace of God is going to take care of me. Let me tell you something. If you have the grace of God and it does not teach you, you've got the wrong thing. You've got the wrong thing. The grace of God teaches us that we've got to deny some things, that we've got to take on some things, that we've got to live the right way. Here's this person that has given us this wonderful gift, this great gift that is so far above anything that we could ever have or ever hope to have. But I need to live according to the gift. I need to live according to the gift. We've got to understand the requirements here that He has on that. This is a part that some people don't seem to understand. There is a training, there is a teaching. Listen to this. Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher that lived in the 1800s or early 1800s, said this, "The most difficult part of the training of young men is not to put the right thing in them. It's not the idea of just teaching them, but to get the wrong thing out of them." Now, do you understand that? You can teach anybody anything, and they can quote it back to you. You know, it may be something like school. Some of our teachers gave us things to know, and what we did is we memorized it, but we really didn't know it. And if they ask us, we could give the answer. Now, if you want to try this sometimes, go into a Bible class of young people and ask them a Bible question. And some of them, they'll give you that Bible answer. You say, "No, tell me what you think about it." You might get a different answer. If you ask them that same question in another setting, you might get a totally different answer. Why? Oh, they know how to talk in church. They know how to say those words in church. We know how to do that too. And we do that. But what we've got to do is to live that right kind of life. It also teaches us what we are to be doing, that we should live soberly. That's with a self-control. We're controlling ourselves. We're making sure that this body, this life, lives in the right way, that we're righteous. We're right to those people around us, and we're right to God also. We're righteous people. We're going to treat people right, and we're going to treat God right, and we're going to do the will of God godly. That means that we're going to act like God. We're going to act like God would act, because see, we've given everything over to God. He has everything, and He's given everything to us. It's the most important things, and that is our salvation that He's given to us. Grace doesn't allow sin in a person's life. We try to stay away from that as much as possible. It teaches us to not have anything to do with that. That's what we've got to do. That's what grace does for us. To have grace that doesn't change my life is not the grace of the Bible. I need to serve God no matter what happens to me, no matter what difficulties I have to face, because look at all that God's given me. There's not a thing in this world that you can mention that you can say, "Wait a minute, the grace of God is not worth that." The grace of God is worth everything. For these people at this time, It was worth them dying for it. It was worth them giving up their life. Some of them gave up their family. They gave up their wealth. They gave up their health. They gave up every bit of it. Well, hey, we're satisfied with Christianity as long as the air conditioner works and pews are padded and all this stuff is going on and everybody says good things to me and everybody treats me in the right way. Then I'm all for this thing of Christianity. But let hard times come, what happens? We turn away from God. Why does God let this happen to me? Why did it do this? Why did it? Listen, understand you've got a gift from God. Whatever comes your way, you've got a gift from God, His grace. He, you've got every bit of it, and it's for you. Now, let's look at this. This is important. I got a couple of points here, and I'm trying to get through all of them before Linda gives me the axe here. Look at the expectations of grace. Now, look at Titus here. Looking for the blessed hope. All right, now, what have we got to look forward to? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we're going to get as a benefit of sharing in this grace of God, of trying to live our lives in the right way, conduct ourselves as we should conduct ourselves. This is what we're going to get. We're going to be able to see, and this is not necessarily talking just about heaven. This talk is talking about seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Talking to Jesus Christ as God talked to Adam and Eve in the garden. And we're talking to a God. We're talking to the God. And so here we have this. It is ours. We have this blessed hope. It is a hope that is so wonderful and so great. We can't even explain all of it. Grace teaches us that we should get away these things out of our life and that we should expect something that is wonderful and great to be in our lives in now and also in the future. That's what the grace of God does for us because we see what God has done for us. This hope is as I mentioned, it's not just heaven. It's being with God in heaven. It's rejoicing there with God in heaven. That's a part of what the grace of God is doing for us. It's helping us to live the right way, conduct ourselves the right way, so that we can be the right kind of people and we can show to God and show to the world how wonderful and how great God is. We can manifest that to God and let God see that. God's grace is something that is so wonderful. What did it cost to send us this grace? What did it cost for God to give us this grace? Something you might want to try sometime. When you read in the Bible about grace, there's some words you can change there. If you want to change about the grace of God, just put Jesus Christ there. Just take it in your mind and put Jesus Christ there. The grace of God. The grace or Jesus Christ. Because that's the gift that was given to us. That's the thing that paid the price. That's the thing that made us right. He gave us Himself. Now, if you give yourself, what else have you got? If you give everything you have, if you give all that you have, well, but what if you give your life? What else do you have? Jesus Christ gave His life for us so that we could have this. He gave up heaven. He gave all of it up for us. He gave Himself up. His own self on the cross. That means Jesus died for us. You know that. But do we really comprehend what He's doing there? He's helping us to have the grace of God. To be brought out of our slavery, Jesus Christ offered His life to pay the price for us. That's what grace is. You see, we sold out to Satan a long time ago. He owned us. We were His children. And if we come up and we reach that age of accountability and we continue living, we're still going to be that slave of Satan. We sell out to him. We live according to his way and his world. But here's Jesus Christ who says, you don't have to do that. I can give you this salvation. I can give it there for you. He paid the price for us so that we could come out of the jail. We could come out of the prison of sin. And we could be free people to walk in the light of God. And we walk and talk as God would have us to walk and talk. That's how wonderful it is. He's the one that paid the price. I can't pay the price for my sins, and you can't pay the price for your sins. But Jesus Christ can pay the price and did pay the price for us. So that we can look at sin, we can look at Satan, we can say, hey, you can't win over us. There's no way. Now, last thing. Titus, or Paul here, helps us to understand in Titus how grace causes us to live. Now, see, a lot of people think the grace of God means that I don't have to worry about how I live. I don't have to worry about how I conduct myself. I don't have to worry about all that. That it's just free and clear. Now, let me tell you something. God doesn't want us afraid, but He wants us to understand what is right. Now, listen to this. He says that we might redeem, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. That's what grace does. Redeems us from every lawless deed and purifies for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works. You tell me grace says you don't have to do anything, you don't know grace. Grace says you've got to work. You work because of grace. And to not work is not to have the grace that the Bible talks about. It's to live in a dream world. So let's come back to reality and understand what reality is trying to say here. We are special people because God has made us special. We are holy people because God has taken that which was used for unholy things and He's cleaned it up and He's used it for a holy thing. It's a holy thing that we are now. And so here He wants us to understand that. He's the conquering King. He's the ruler of it all. And He wants us to be in His army. Now, a part of what He's talking about here is this special people. I understand that some people in the Greek kind of look at this as though it's like a king that's coming in. A king that was a conqueror. When he would come back to his city or town or village or country, he would come sometimes with an entourage of all the gold and silver and the slaves and all that would be in front of him. And then he would come in as the conquering person. And everybody's saying, look at all that, and he did that. Look at all this, and he gave us this. Well, look at that. That's what it's saying here. Look at all that God's given you. How could you not work for Him? How could you not serve Him? How could you not do His will? You see, this thing of the grace of God, I think people have misunderstood it. It doesn't let you out of work. It puts you to work even more. It helps you to realize what a wonderful gift you have, how you have been blessed in so many ways. Now, look at this. In Acts the 20th chapter and verse 32, listen to these words. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. I'm commending you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's the grace of God. It can build us up. It can make us stronger. And we think about, you know, you face temptations. You think about, look what God's done for me. Look how much He sacrificed for me, His own Son. Look how God has worked out this salvation plan for me and for the other people of the world. Look what He's done. Look how He's blessed us in so many. How in the world could I not give up this or give up that or not do this or not do that? How could I not turn from this or turn from that? Look at what He did for me. And when we look at it, it pales. And so then we can turn away from sin. We can turn away from unrighteousness and we can turn to God. And we can live a better way and live a better life because of the grace of God. Let me tell you something. Understand the grace of God. It's a wonderful thing. It helps us to understand what God has done for us. And when we understand what God's done for us, let me tell you something. We'll do anything we have to for Him. We'll do anything we have to for Him. Because of His love for us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to have the grace of God. I'm not offering that because of anything I've done. I'm offering that because of what Jesus Christ has done. I want you to have forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ offers that. We can tell you about it because He told us to. I can offer to you a cleansing in your life that will cleanse every sin away. That will allow you in the future to go to God and say, God, forgive me, and God will forgive you. Those of us that are Christians, think about the grace of God and what God's done in your life. I don't know about you, but can you see God in your life as a child of God? Can you see things that you say, and I know we can't prove it, not saying that's what we're trying to do, but we can say, God's working in my life. I think most of us could. If you can't, you need to go back to the basics of Christianity and understand it. God wants to save you. He wants you to keep be saved. He wants you to keep being saved. And He's going to do everything He can. And He has done everything He can. So really, it's in our hands. What do we want to do? God has sent His Son. God has sacrificed His Son. The blood is there. What's holding us back? What's keeping us from reaching it? If it's a stubborn will, be willing to give it up. If it's because you like that way, change what you like. Please, any way we can help you to be right with God, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.
At Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.